You'll turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. While you're turning there, let me ask you two questions. Number one, would you agree with the statement that God is both logical and practical? Okay, getting some nods. God is both logical and practical. Is it then safe to say that when God commands something, there's a logical or practical reason behind it? I think we would agree with that. God doesn't make commands arbitrarily. He doesn't say things without any meaning behind them. When he says something, there's a good reason behind it. I heard that a lot from my parents growing up. If you're in Hebrews chapter 12, I'll be reading from the New King James Version, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews writer says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." The word "looking" there is the Greek word aphorao. It means to see, to look up to fix one's eyes on, to fix one's attention on, to gaze fixedly, or to have in full view. Let me ask you, what is the practical, logical reason behind looking to Jesus? We understand what it means. It's not difficult to understand. It's not complicated. Look to Jesus. But why? What is the motivation? Why does God want me to look? Why does God want me to focus on Jesus? And we could talk for hours. I mean there's dozens of reasons, but tonight we'll only look at two. Number one, looking to Jesus enables us to stay focused and to limit distractions. To stay focused and to limit distractions. If you've ever got a new puppy, you've ever got a dog and you're trying to train this dog so it'll behave, what is the first thing that you teach it to do? It's not to come, it's not to sit, it's not to roll over. It's to look to you. It's to look at you. In fact, if you ever watch professional dog trainers on TV, that's the first thing that they'll do. They'll reward the dog for looking at them, for making eye contact. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is? Think about that for a second. In fact, one of my favorite things, I saw a video just a few days ago. It was of a canine officer, and he was training his partner. And the whole time that they're going through this training, the dog is looking up at its handler's face the entire time. And so eventually at one point, you know, you've got the officer standing here and the dog is right in front of it, and he's looking up at his handler, his owner, like this. You know, he's making eye contact. Why do you think that is? Why is it so important to teach a dog that? I believe number one is to teach the dog focus. Number two is to teach them that you are in control. Teach focus to teach that you are in control. Another illustration we can give. Whenever Peter was walking on the water toward Jesus, when did he face problems? At what point did things start going wrong? He got distracted. He took his eyes off Jesus and he noticed the wind and the waves. That's when he started to sink. He got distracted. So what is the application that we can make from those two illustrations? If I'm distracted, if I'm consumed with the things of this world, there's absolutely no way that my relationship with God won't be affected. It won't work. If I'm consumed with things of this life, whether that be my career, whether that's my schooling, whether that's my spouse even, whether that's fill in the blank, if it's my hobby, fill in the blank, if I'm consumed with something that isn't God, my relationship with God is going to suffer. It's going to be affected, and it's not going to be affected for the positive. Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14, I won't read that all three verses, but a portion of that, Paul says, "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal." Bobby Ventura, whenever he gets back from Colorado, he was a track coach. Next time you get the chance, ask him, whenever his runners are running, ask them what they need to focus on. What should they focus on? You're running around the track, say, I don't know what your event may be, but where are you focusing? It's not the person beside you. It's not the person you're competing against. is the finish line. It's the finish line. It's where you're going. That's where you need to focus, because as soon as you look away, that affects your balance, that affects your stride, that affects your body mechanics. So you focus on what is ahead of you, and that's the imagery that Paul is using there in Philippians 3. So number one, focusing, looking to Jesus, it enables us to stay focused and to limit distractions. But number two, it ensures that we will be ready for His return. It ensures that we will be ready for His return. Because think about the logical process through this. Think about the sequence. If I'm looking to Jesus, I'm focused. If I'm focused, then I'm going to be prepared. And if I'm prepared, then it's safe to say that I'm anticipating Jesus coming back. I'm anticipating it. Have there ever been times in your life where discussions about the second coming have made you nervous? I think we've all been there, especially as a kid. You know, before you really start to understand things, the idea of the second coming is kind of nerve-wracking. You know, it kind of gets under your skin a little bit. I don't know what to expect kind of thing. But, you know, once we've been in Christ for a certain period of time, you know, obviously we can't specify a certain duration, but you know, if I've been in Christ for 10 years and the thought of Jesus coming back doesn't make me excited, it makes me nervous, there might be a problem. Because I'm missing the point. I'm missing the point. The point of my existence is for Jesus to come back and to find me well prepared. That's the point. That's the goal. That's everything. In that moment, how successful I've been as a person will be sealed. But if I've missed it, that might explain why I'm nervous. Because maybe I'm not prepared. And obviously we can't say flat out in every situation, but am I prepared? Am I excited about Jesus coming back? Is that something that I look forward to? If you turn to Philippians 3, look in verse 20. There Paul says, we eagerly wait for the Savior. Titus 2 and verse 13, Paul says something similar. He says, looking for the glorious appearing of our great God. It's something that we look forward to. It's a blessing. It's something that we're excited about, because that's when we truly start to live at that moment. When eternity starts for the Christian, that's what we're aiming for. That's the existence that we want. It's not here. This is the first page of the entire book of our existence. This is the introduction. This is the introduction to the introduction. And if I spend my life focused on this, if I'm not looking to Jesus and I'm distracted with everything else, all the little minutiae of our lives, I've missed it. And there's no second chances. So if I mess this up, I don't get a do-over. That's why we look to Jesus. It enables us to focus. It helps us to limit those distractions and to realize what's most important in our lives. But then also it makes sure that I'm prepared. Because if I'm focused, that I'm prepared. And if I'm prepared, that I'm anticipating. I'm anticipating. Revelation 1 verse 7 says that when He comes, every eye will see Him. And the blessing is, if we're looking to Him now, that's not going to be a surprise. That's not going to be a surprise. So our goal is to be looking for Jesus. Not only looking to Him, focusing on Him as the pattern and the example of our lives, but also, in a sense, looking forward to His second coming. Anticipating that day, looking forward to that day, because that's when we get to go home. If you're here this evening and you're not prepared, you know, you're thinking about the second coming, the day of judgment, and you realize that, you know what? That day might not go as well as I'd like it to. As long as time continues, there's an opportunity for you to make that right. There's an opportunity for us to do better and to improve. And maybe if you're not looking to Jesus, maybe that's not something that you need to come forward for. Maybe it's just something, you know what, I need to recenter. I need to refocus, recalibrate, and get back on the straight and narrow in my mind, my headspace, so to speak. But you may be here, you may have put on Christ in the past, and you may have walked away for a time. You may have gotten so distracted with this life that you've stopped looking to Jesus completely. We can fix that tonight. Or if you're here and you've never looked to Jesus before, you don't have a relationship with Him, that's also something that we can fix. Not something that we can fix, but something that we can help you fix with God's help. The plan for that, the way that we come into a relationship with God, is very simple. It's very, very clearly laid out in Scripture that once we hear the Word of God preached, we believe the things that we've heard, we believe that God is good and that He wants what's best for us. We believe that He is eternal and that He is omniscient. Then it's at that point in time that I've come into contact with the perfect law of liberty. I've looked into that mirror of truth and I've seen where I've messed up. So I need to repent of my sins. I need to confess that Jesus Christ, He wasn't just a good man. He wasn't just a rabbi in the Middle East 2,000 years ago. He was actually the Son of God. He was actually the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. You can then be baptized for the remission of your sins. And that baptism, that final act, is what puts you into Christ. Because it's the reenactment of the death, burial, and resurrection of the man that you just claimed to be Lord, that you just claimed to be the Son of God. His blood will then cleanse you. You'll be added to His church. And then you can start on that path of looking to Jesus. If you're here tonight and you have one of those needs, please come as we stand and as we sing.